feel?
Gorgeous.
It feels good, doesn't it? It feels clarifying. So, again, in Murshid's words, he says, ignorance is the primary nature of the ego. And then for purifying one's ego from this, we use gentleness. About the subtlety of the wazifa, getting more and more gentle. Gentleness, humility, self-control, tolerance, and forgiveness. They're words, but they're also qualities. One could even associate these in a very interesting way to the elements. For example, gentleness. The earth is there. It has a presence. It's beneath our feet. It's subtle. It's not moving. In a way, it's a kind of gentleness. Humility, water element, constantly bowing and flowing downward. Downward. Self-control. You need to be a fire handler or you'll get burned. That's self-control. Tolerance, like the air. It takes everything into it, doesn't it? And forgiveness, where everything comes together in the element of ether and everything dissolves again. Everything is released. You see, there are five things here that Murshid is giving us as a word for purifying the ego. One can't dismiss the fact that those five things are also represented in the elements. He's always teaching this in a very subtle way again and again. And moving on to the last paragraph of this teaching, we're starting to come to the conclusion of our time together. Man can dissimulate, not assimilate, but dissimulate this ignorance. But that is not enough. Often, outward manner become a mask over something ugly hidden behind. Man can dissimulate this ignorance, but that is not enough. Often, outward manner may become a mask over something ugly hidden behind. There's only one thing that can free the ego from this ignorance, and that is the love of God, the contemplation of God, the knowledge of God. Love of God comes from belief in God. Belief is the first thing necessary. But belief needs support. It can be kept up by the belief of others around one, or by learning or study, which will strengthen it. Well, it's not enough to have belief. It's not enough to have the seed. We have to plant the seed. We have to water the seed. We have to give it light and life. So here, belief is the first thing necessary, but belief needs support. It can be kept by the belief of others around one. So our spiritual companions, our community, can help support that. universe is speaking. Through our spiritual companions, their calling, as a matter of fact. Belief is the first thing necessary, but belief needs support. It can be kept up by the belief of others around one, or by learning, or studying, which will strengthen it. So, being around others of like mind, learning from others, and strengthening it ourselves by our own study. But he to whom the love of humanity is unknown can never know the love of God. As you can see, the painter in his picture our great protector. But he to whom the love of humanity is unknown can never know the love of God. As you see the painter in his picture, the poet in his poem, the musician in his music, so in humanity you can see God. So perhaps even in the limitations of humanity, we see the hand of God. Because we learn more about these qualities of gentleness, humility, self-control, tolerance, and forgiveness. We are often given challenges in life, challenging people, but in a way they're great teachers. When everything is moving smoothly, there often isn't a lot of growth. But when the challenges come, this is a real opportunity to put to test this belief in God, these teachings. To not judge, to be tolerant, to know that there's room enough for everyone and everything. It may not be to our liking, but that's something within us.
Leo didn't like the audience across the street not paying attention to him. That was his ego. They were getting in a car.
Oh, well, he's also a very good protector, and we have to tell him that good job to protect the house and home, and his companions. So I'll read the one paragraph again in its entirety, and then we have some thoughts and reflections from Murshid that we can contemplate in closing. Man can dissimulate this ignorance, but that is not enough. Often, outward manner may become a mask over something ugly hidden behind it. I want to just give a little bit of a few words of this. It really, that kind of false pretense where one is giving an impression but then turns around in the next breath and criticizes or hurts another person. You understand what I'm saying? So in one way, they're giving an appearance of something. Even sometimes when there's an audience, people like to do that, to give an appearance of being pious and good and knowledgeable. But then what happens when that person's alone or with their closest companions? Does something else arise? You know, this is what Murshid is saying, behind the mask, hidden over something that's ugly. But there's only one thing that can free the ego from this ignorance, and that is the love of God, the contemplation of God, and the knowledge of God. But belief is the first thing necessary, but belief needs support. It can be kept up by the belief of others around one, or by learning, or studying, which will strengthen it. But he to whom the love of humanity is unknown can never know the love of God. One might put it in this way. Does one consider one's comfort, one's happiness, one's life more important than others? If that's so, then clearly one doesn't necessarily have the love of humanity. Again, the perfect example is Jesus. But there are others that make self-sacrifice for the greater good and put others before oneself. The benefit and the prosperity and the concern of others before oneself. We have a lot of examples. Mother Teresa is another good example. She gave up her creature comforts, her home, her people, and moved to a very challenging place in the world to bring some light and love to people. But there are a lot of people that do it in very subtle ways that are hidden. And we ourselves have to ask ourselves, who's more important to us, ourselves or everyone else? If you know mathematics, it's a pretty easy answer. But he to whom the love of humanity is unknown can never know the love of God. As you can see the painter in his picture, the poet in his poem, the musician in his music, so in humanity you can see God. Remember the story we began with, and the woman who even saved her own self by saying to the killer with the knife at her throat, "Jesus loves you, and so do I." How disarming that was. So a couple of quotes that relate to our teaching today and some of our discussion. And this is by Hazrat Inayat Khan, and we find this in the book that came from Murshid's handwritten notes, which now have been compiled in the Gayan. Heaven and hell are the material manifestation of agreeable and disagreeable thoughts. Heaven and hell are the material manifestation of agreeable and disagreeable thoughts. Just close your eyes and contemplate that. And again, these quotations you'll be finding along with the video and the audio files of this session. So, but just let those feel the depth of that quotation by Murshid. Heaven and hell are the material manifestation of agreeable and disagreeable thoughts. Implied in that message is if you're in hell, change your thoughts. If you feel you're in hell, change your perspective. We may think it's the worst thing in the world that could happen to us, but we don't know that in the next step, there could be a closing of one door so another one opens. The obstacle that someone's putting there is either to teach us flexibility to find a new solution by going around it, or to make us very strong by going through it. You know, agreeable and disagreeable thoughts. It's a matter of perspective. I love to tell the story of Atisha here, because Atisha was the great master. Am I right, Joe, of the Kadampa tradition? And this tradition is really a path of purity, where they observe their mind, Buddhist. And he taught at Nalanda, I believe, university. And he had a great many students. He was very revered. It's one of the main streams that come through the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. It's said that Atisha even had two little packets of stones in his pockets. And there were white stones and there were black stones. And he would take and gather and put them in one pouch each day. He had a disagreeable thought or a disagreeable behavior, he'd take a black stone. He'd have a virtuous thought, kindness, he'd take a white stone. And at the end of each day, he'd look and he'd see what was there. It was a way that he monitored his own ego. Very good practice. We could do that with marbles. It'd be good to do that. It'd be a great retreat. We should maybe do that at our spring retreat. Have everybody carry around some marbles and see what happens at the end of the day. So anyway, it's being mindfully aware. Well, of course, at this time, Buddhism was flourishing in India, but in Tibet, it had disintegrated. The true Dharma had started to become obscured. And he had been asked a number of times by the great kings of Tibet, please come to this country and help to reestablish the Dharma. And of course, he had such huge responsibilities at the university. He thought, how can I possibly forsake these responsibilities in order to do this? But at one point, he had come to a place in his own life and in his students' lives where he felt perhaps now it's time to go and do this work. I will say that he also received a vision. He knew that if he went and did this, he was given in vision that his own life would be shortened by 20 years. You see, he made a self-sacrifice because he thought the Dharma was important enough, that the teachings were important enough to take foothold again and flourish in Tibet, that he was willing to make a sacrifice of his own life. Again, like Jesus, if we think about it. So it was time to prepare. And of course, travel was going to be by foot. There were no airplanes or big vehicles, right? So he had to put together, there had to be an entourage assembled, people to carry the goods, the provisions, you know, to do the tents, to do the cooking, et cetera, et cetera. And so it happened that there was a tea master from the area of Bengal who was very uneducated and rather crude. In fact, this person would scratch unbecomingly and snort and spit and, you know, even he'd curse and say terrible things to Atisha. And of course, all the students and all the people that highly revered him thought, oh my God, what an abomination. How can you talk to our great teacher in this way? But Atisha, he didn't pay any attention. He just let it all be. And when it was time to get the entourage together, he said, we have to take this Bengali tea master. And of course, everybody said, why on earth do we have to take him? He's just a big troublemaker. And he, what's more, he's insulting and he's rather crude. And, you know, we really don't think it's a good idea. You know, let's find someone else that, you know, is more harmonious with us. And he said, no, we have to take him. Well, why on earth do we have to take him? And he said, for exactly the reasons that you've said, because it is he that will help us know what progress we've really made. If we continually react to him, then we know we've made little progress on this path. And if we see that we don't, then we know that we've really accomplished something. And for me, this is good. And so I wish, you know, it helps me in my practice, and it helps all of us. So let me tell you, when there's someone there that you just as soon not have around, you say thank you in your mind. You're my Bengali tea master.
Sure.
Great story and true story. So remember it. It's not easy to remember in those moments, but try to recall it, okay? And be grateful. The person's providing an opportunity for personal, spiritual growth, and perhaps a big change in the future.
They're
and we can thank them.
To our inner being.
Yeah, absolutely. Or perhaps, again, an indication of change and growth. So remember, heaven and hell are the material manifestation of agreeable and disagreeable thoughts. And if you're of somewhat of a sane mind and body, an able body, we can make these choices. This is not to say it's a replacement. There are some people that have some serious issues, medical issues that create depression or confusion. This is not a replacement for this, and this is not a judgment. But if you feel you cannot discern, anyone that's watching, here's the news. If you can't discern and you can't change your mind, go find someone that can help you do that. It may be also an indication that there's a pattern that needs professional assistance. Okay, and this is, the disclaimer is, we should be typing this like a little teleprompter across the screen. This is not meant for a substitute for medical and psychiatric advice if necessary. Okay?
Go.
Murshida Vira used to say, I was with her when she would, I sometimes would sit to her with her when she also gave meetings and practices with other people. Sometimes I was a note taker. And I remember that there was someone that was concerned about a child perhaps having suffered some sort of abuse. And Murshida Vira advised the parent, don't make a deeper impression in the child's mind by questioning them about it. Replace the impression with something beautiful. And I wish I had a little bell. Ding dong, that's why we do practices. We're replacing and purifying those impressions in the mind. And if you read the teachings of Hazrat Anayat Khan, well, even Buddhism, and I would speculate to say that when Jesus rose again, there was something to that on the third day. I mean, what did he rise in? You know, there's always this idea that there's some sort of a gap. There's something, there's a continuation. I mean, it's a great mystery. But from a scientific point of view, we know an energy created is never destroyed. Something happens. So, Hazrat Anayat Khan would teach us that we exist in the mind. The mind continues. Buddhism would call it the consciousness migrates. You know, Hinduism talks about reincarnation, so on and so forth. Doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what we believe or what we think. The point is there's probably something that's going on, you know. And in Anayat Khan's, you know, sort of cosmology, you might say, philosophy, he says it is the mind that continues. Hence, heaven and hell are made with agreeable and disagreeable thoughts. Hence, if we've spent time with our practice in cultivating a kind of clarified state of mind, then the mind is clear and the mind will exist in that realm. And so, Murshida Vira's advice, replace that impression with something beautiful, with something harmonious. She gave the advice to something that the child liked, that would enjoy contemplating, like a beautiful flower, something in nature, a pretty little animal or something, you know, a picture of a guardian angel, something that gives an impression that can help almost like purify or polish that line in the mind and give it another impression. And so the practices do that. It builds that, well, it's kind of like building a beautiful temple for us to live in. Our palace for the future, you might say, is built with our thoughts and our practices and our actions. So think about that. Does that make sense? Does that encourage you? Want to change your mind? Okay. A couple more wonderful and very powerful quotes. One is another, this is from the Vedan by an icon. And he said, a learned man, we could say person or woman, but here he said, a learned man without willpower is like a head without a body. A learned man without willpower is like a head without a body. I mean, you have to have a kind of, it's not enough just to have the, you know, sometimes I say things, people will ask me questions, and then I say something, and their response is, I know that. And it's like, well, then why did you waste my time asking the question? Do you know what I mean? I'm in a busy person. I don't have a lot of time. And it's interesting how it kind of sets up this dialogue or debate. Like, I know that. Well, knowing it and being it and integrating it and living it are two entirely different things. Hence, a learned man, I know that. I've learned that. Someone told me that. Without willpower, the ability to apply it is like a head without a body. What a great quote. Isn't it? It's like, don't you get it? Well, I know that. Well, then go do it. Use your willpower to apply it. I learned it. People like to spout platitudes. But how you live your life is really the testament, isn't it? And like Mom says, and by the way, all the jingle jangles in the background, that's Mother's bracelets. So it's okay. It's okay. It's just you. Yeah, it's like bells or chimes, but I just wanted people to know what that is. We're the jingle jangle girls. We take after my mom. So, how do we apply those things that we've learned? You know, not just being able to quote things or say, yeah, I know that, I've read that. I'm like, really? Oh, how are you living it? And Mom always would say, the testament of the person is what they do when they're alone, not when other people are watching. Yeah. One more. Great one. You ready for this? This is also from the Don of Hazrat and Icon. A pure conscience gives one the strength of lions, and a guilty conscience, even lions, and by a guilty conscience, even lions are turned into rabbits. You know, he understood, and he had a sense of humor about it too. Like, a pure conscience gives one the strength of lions, and a guilty conscience, even lions are turned into rabbits. It's weakness.
Rabbits are frantic and afraid and of shadows.
If you have a guilty conscience.
Into a rabbit. No, rabbits are scared and fearful, and they're not, they're the opposite. I mean, they're worried that the lions are going to gobble them up.
Guilty conscience.
They're worried that the lions are going to gobble them up. So a pure conscience gives one the strength of lions.
They're timid and fearful, too.
And by a guilty conscience, even lions are turned into rabbits. These skittish little fearful go into your little rabbit hole and hide thing. So, are you, you know, Mighty Mouse, what did he say? Are you a man or a mouse? Those were cartoons when I was a kid. Does anyone remember? What are you, a man or a mouse? Well, here's Hazrat and Icon's asking you, are you a lion or a rabbit? Are your thoughts agreeable or disagreeable? You know? Well, we've had enough for today. And if it's even been slight good entertainment, think what you'd be paying to go to the movie theater, okay? Send that money through the web and make a donation here in the basket. Now, Are there, Cabrilla, has that been you doing your tippy-tappy? Is there something else that we need to know? Is there some, are there comments? I see some thank yous there. Is there anything else? Is there anything else someone would like to say or contribute? And was it worthwhile? I hope it was. I hope you can apply. Yes, applause. Thank you, Murshid. Thank you, Murshid. Thank you, Murshid. I see some smiley faces. This is like Magic Mirror. That was another one when I was a kid. They had a woman that she had romper room, and she'd look in her magic mirror and see all the people out there in TV land. I must be regressing somehow to my more innocent days. Okay. Bees, little children. Well, I'm very glad that we've had all of you here today and the online participants, and it's we've gone from very, very cold weather this week to very, very hot. It's summertime. It's way over summertime, in fact. So things are ever changing, and hopefully we can change our thoughts. We can help to help ourselves and help others by doing so. And as I said, I may jest, but it's true. Your generosity is put into good use, and we have many vehicles for making contributions. And I know some of you are, you know, you've already made your, you make monthly contributions through your credit cards, and you make yearly contributions, and that is all wonderful, and we accept that too. And I guess the only thing that we would ask, really, truly, the best way you can show that this has been of benefit is to apply it to your life and to make good use of these teachings and to help other people understand this wisdom. I'm not proselytizing in any way the message, but just by the testament of your own life and your own actions and your own thoughts, words, and deeds, making the world a better place to be. Amen, yes. And shall we say the prayer Khatum in closing? O Thou, who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear Thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us Thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us Thy great goodness. Teach us Thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men. Send us the peace of Thy divine Spirit, and unite us all in Thy perfect being. Amen. Our love to you all. Thank you. Those that are here are welcome to stay for tea and treats, and we'll you want to go onward to having a pizza party, we can all gather at the pizza place. And those that aren't with us, you are. You're here in our hearts, and we love you, and we're so grateful. And we'll be seeing many of you at summer school, inshallah, God willing. And we love you.
Thank you.